Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the very bottom of Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah. The topic under discussion involves the sending of a thigh of meat, of animal's meat, a thigh, to a Gentile, which contains in it the Gid Hanoshe. The Gid Hanoshe, as we have been discussing in this perek, is a forbidden nerve that's found in the hind leg of an animal, which carries with it a negative command, a lo saseh, if one eats it. This, of course, doesn't necessarily apply to Gentiles. That point itself is actually a matter of controversy, as we have seen in previous Gemaras, but in the meantime, we're working with the assumption that it's allowed for a Gentile. The Mishnah. Sholeach adam yerech le'ovei kechavim shegid hanoshe besocha. One can send a complete thigh that has the gid hanoshe in it, and we're not afraid that the Gentile will turn around and sell it to a Jew who will end up eating it with the gid hanoshe. Rashi points out that since it is a complete gid hanoshe, and actually the Mishnah goes on to say, b'nei shemekomo nikar, because its position is visible, namely, since it's a complete thigh, one can see that it hasn't been cut open and didn't have the gid removed from it. So that in the worst case scenario, so to speak, that if the Gentile receives a complete thigh of meat from a Jew, and he turns around and sells it to the Jew, the Gentile would then sell it to a Jew, the Jew will see that it hasn't been cut open, the gid hasn't been removed, so he'll remove it himself. The Gemara now makes and draws an inference from the Mishnah. The Mishnah that said Sholeach Odom Yerech, the word Yerech implies a complete thigh. So the Gemara is Medayik, Shlemo in Chatucholo. The heter of the Mishnah is sending a complete thigh, but not one that's cut into sections, that's cut into pieces. Let us take a look at the Rashi. He says Yerech Shlemo Mashma Chatucholo. Rashi says if it's cut, then one cannot send it pieces of thigh to a Gentile. Rashi adds Elohim K Nital Gida, unless the gid has already been removed. The Kevin de Chatuchahi, since it is cut into pieces, Sovar Halokha Mino Ovikuchavim Shinital Gida Vyochla Begida. The one who would eventually buy it from the goy, from the Gentile that I sent it to, that Jew who buys it from the Gentile will think that the gid has been removed, and when it hasn't, and will eat the meat with the gid in it. The Gemara now delves into the background of this Mishnah. The background meaning, what are the circumstances? B'mai askinan. What are we talking about? If we're talking about a region where there is no announcement made, now we have to made regarding trefos. Here we have to provide background, and I think the best way to do that would be by learning the Rashi on this. Rashi says, "B'mokum she'ein machrizin shekol hatabochim she'osa mokum Yisraelim heim." We're talking about a situation where all the butchers of the area, the slaughterers and the butchers of that area, are Jews. Ukshavot treifa liyodam, and when they chance upon an animal that's a treifa, an animal, for example, that has a hole in one of its vital organs, which would render it a treifa. Ein machrizin lomar, they don't make an announcement saying nofla treifa biitliz limkor la'ovi kichavim. What happens in such a case is that when they do chance upon an animal to treifa, they'll sell it to a goy. They'll sell it to a Gentile who naturally is allowed to eat treifa. If we're talking about a region where no announcement is made that a treifa has come upon, has we have chanced upon a treifa, uba'osamokoim, in such a place, ein lokim basar min ha'ovdei kechavim, Jews wouldn't buy meat from their Gentile neighbors in such a place. Teshema mochru lo hatabochim treifa, it could be that they sold their treifos to the local Gentiles. The ein anu yodim in basa hayom treifa liyodim, and we, the Jewish population of such an area, isn't aware of the presence of a treifa in the market. That's a case that's called a mokoim she'ein machrizin. So, if our Mishnah is talking about such a place, and simply put, in such a place, Jews do not buy meat from Gentiles. Because, as we said, no announcements are ever made concerning the presence of a treifa, and it could be that a treifa is in the market, namely it's been sold to a Gentile, and the Gentile that I would be buying from, maybe I'm buying from him the treifas that were sold to him, to the Gentile. So if we're talking about a place like that, Mokom She'ein Machrizin, so the Gemara at the top of Tzadi Dalet Omer Aleph, Chatucha Nami Lishdar Lei, why not send a cut thigh, a sectioned thigh, a meat that was cut up into pieces with the gid in it? The holo asu lemizvan minei, Jews aren't going to come to buy from him thighs with gid in it. Jews don't buy meat in such a region from Gentiles in the first place. Elo b'mokoim shemachrizin, it must be that we're talking about a locale where announcements are made. In such announcements concerning treifos, therefore, if you live in such a locale and you didn't hear any announcement, you will likely buy meat from the Gentiles, if you should so desire. Since there was no announcement made, all the meat in the area is kosher, being that all the slaughterers of the area, the tabochim, are Jews. If that be the case, then shlemo nami lo lishdar lei, we shouldn't be allowed to send a complete thigh either to the goy until the gid is removed. Even though in a complete thigh you can see that the gid is there, maybe the Gentile to whom I sent the complete thigh will cut the thigh into pieces. The Gentile to whom I sent the complete thigh may cut it into pieces and sell meat, thigh meat, in pieces, and Jews will buy meat from the goy, from the Gentile, because we're talking about a locale where they would have announced if there was a treifa. Being that there was no announcement, there is no treifa, Jews will buy meat, and if I send even a complete thigh to the goy, he may cut it into sections and turn around and sell pieces of thigh meat with the gid in it to the unsuspecting Jew. So why is there an allowance to send a complete thigh? The Gemara answers, We can give two approaches to the Mishnah. One approach is that it, in fact, is a place where announcements are made, and one approach is it's a place where announcements are not made. And then we'll follow through on we have to explain then why are we in the Mishnah making a distinction between a complete thigh with the gid in it and that being allowed, and as opposed to a cut up one not being allowed. It is talking about, we're going to suggest that the Mishnah is talking about a case where announcements are made, and we will then tell you that a complete thigh is allowed to be sold. The Rashi explains, Chitucho dovi kichovim beyerech, a Gentile, when he cuts up a thigh, eino osui kishel Yisrael, it's not done like that of a Jew. In other words, a Jew's approach to a thigh meat, is not the same as the Gentile. Shehu poro kederech shagid munach, the Jew cuts up the thigh meat following the path the gid takes in that section of the animal. The Aldo Somech Rebbe, and Rebbe relies on this, B'sholech yerech l'chaveru ayalu v'kichovim v'lo'osa b'choysim t'ksherohi. Rashi goes into a detail concerning the sending of meat using a Gentile emissary, and he relies on this fact that the way a Gentile cuts up thigh meat is different than the way a Jew were to cut up thigh meat. Therefore, you can send a complete thigh to the goy, and if he happens to cut it up, the Jew will notice that it's cut differently, and hence he won't come to think that the gid was removed and eat thigh meat with gid in it. The Gemara continues, V'iboy Asema, another approach to the Mishnah is, V'mokoim she'ein machrizin, we're talking about a place where announcements are not made, and even so, if announcements are not made, then the question is, why is it that a Jew cannot send a cut up thigh with gid still in it? Gezeira shemo yitneno loy bifnei Yisrael acher. The sale or the transaction, the giving of the thigh meat with the gid in it to the Gentile might be done in the presence of another Jew. There will be a third party, an onlooker, a Jewish onlooker. And the Jewish onlooker will think, seeing that a Jew is giving the meat to the goy, that it is kosher meat, and he'll think that the gid was removed, and that Jew will buy from the goy, not realizing that the Jew who sold it to the goy left the gid in it. Let us take a look at the Rashi. V'iboy seima b'mokim she'ein machrizin u'dekashya loch. And you'll ask, if it's a place that there are no announcements made, chatuchonami lishdar, so send cut up thigh with gid in it to the goy, the holo zov in lo Yisrael, the Jew isn't going to buy from the goy. So to this, the Gemara answered, gzeiro shemo yitneno lo b'fnei Yisrael, we're afraid that the original Jew owner will give it to the Gentile in the presence of an onlooking Jew. The oisoharaya shezeh nosnoloi, the onlooker, seeing that a Jew gave it to the goy, lokeach himenu, he, the onlooker Jew, will buy from the Gentile. The kosavor nital gido, and think that the gid was already removed. The Gemara continues, v'iboy asema, another problem is mishum de kogonev le ledaite. The reason that chatucha is aser is because of what's called geneva's das. In other words, the Gentile thinks that the Jew is so fond of him that he the Jew, is giving him, the Gentile, meat that he himself, the Jew himself, would eat. This is called Geneva's Das. And as the Rashi explains, that will cause the Gentile then to feel a sense of debt to the Jew for having given him something that he himself, the Jew himself, would have eaten, when in fact the Jew gave him cut up thigh meat with the gid still in it. This leads into a very profound sugya that we've entitled on the side under our Nosei heading, the Isser of Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das is a function of actions that one does that cause the receiver, the beneficiary, to be misled. The Gemara continues. Diomar Shmuel, Oser lignoiv da'as habrios, ve'afilu daitel shel oivei kechovim. That it is oser to cause people, even a Gentile, to be misled. The Gemara points out, and here's a long point that lasts several lines. We have a nun to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dash line, indicating that all of these lines opposite this vertical dash line constitute the point. The point the Gemara makes is that this comment of Shmuel wasn't really stated by Shmuel outright fashion, but it's something that was derived from an incident. And when you have this kind of Gemara structure where it says Lav Beferush Itmar Elo Mechola Itmar, as we're about to see, namely it wasn't a statement made by Shmuel outright, but was derived from an incident or from something else that Shmuel had said, this represents something of a weak nature, weak in the sense that after we learn the source that led to this conclusion, we will also have room or grounds for questioning this conclusion. So in the meantime, we have reports that Shmuel holds also lignov das habrios afilu daitel shel akum. Based on what is this said? So we're going to tell you based on an incident. This comment of Shmuel that we have assigned a firebox to, as you can see with our markings, indicating that this is a major point that will occupy the Gemara for quite a while in our oncoming discussion. That this comment was not said straight out, but michlola itmar, it was derived in this case from an incident. The Shmuel have ko'ovar b'mabro. Shmuel was taking a ferry ride. He was riding a boat. Omerle l'shame, Shmuel tells his servant, paise l'mavure, pay the fee to the captain, to the boat owner. Paisei v'ikpid. So the shamish paid him off, and Shmuel reacted negatively. He reacted with consternation. My time v'ikpid. Why was Shmuel upset? Omar Abaye. We have a couple of approaches to this. The first is Abaye's approach. Tarnegulis trefo havoi. The servant paid the captain with some chicken. However, he paid him with a chicken that was a trefa. The yohavo nihale b'mor deshchuta, and he presented it to the captain as if it were a non-trefa, as if it were a shchuta, we'll say a kosher chicken. Rova Omar. Rova has a different version of the story. Anpika Omar le Lashkuye. Anpika is undiluted wine. And according to Rava's version, Shmuel instructed the servant to offer the captain pure, undiluted wine as payment. V'ashke chamra maziga. And the servant went and gave him diluted wine. And, of course, the captain thought he was receiving pure wine. So in both of these cases, in the case of Abaye with the chicken, the captain thought he was receiving kosher meat, meat that the Jew himself would have eaten. Or in Rava's case, the captain thought he was receiving pure wine, when in fact it was diluted. So that would be the basis, if, in other words, Shmuel's being upset with this form of payment could be explained by Shmuel's concern with Geneva's Das, with the captain being misled. The Gemara asks, V'chi mechlola mai? Well, being that the this concept of Shmuel is derived from this incident, what is weak about this? In other words, how else could you explain Shmuel's objection, Shmuel's hakpoda, other than the way we've explained it? And if there is no other way to explain it, then this would be a very strong basis of determining that Shmuel holds that it's also lignov das abrios, even the das of an akum, even the das of a Gentile. As we said before, when you have this structure, this type of presentation, the Gemara is alluding to that there must be a built-in weakness. So here the Gemara goes and is essentially asking this question, v'chi mechlolamai, and if this conclusion of Shmuel is derived from this, so what's weak about it? What other explanation could you give? The Gemara says there are other explanations. And if we would go with these alternative explanations, then we can't conclude that we can't conclude Shmuel's teaching that it's also lignov das abrios if that whole teaching is based on this story. Leman domar trefa, Abaye's approach. Leman domar trefa havoy, according to Abaye's approach that the chicken was used to pay the captain, and it happened to be a trefa. Amalei, Amai Tasha Isura, Shmuel's objection was, why did you leave in your possession an unkosher chicken so long? In other words, Shmuel was upset not with the payment to the captain, but with the fact that his servant kept this unkosher chicken around so long. And that itself is a problem. It could have led to him eating it himself, or some other takola. And Leman Damar Anpika Amar Le Lashkuya, according to Rava's approach, that Shmuel had instructed payment to be made with pure wine, and it was done with diluted wine. The objection of Shmuel is not because of Geneva's Das, necessarily, but rather Anpika Chayo Mashma. Anpika means undiluted wine. And this servant, as Rashi explains, went ahead and violated the instructions that he received. So Shmuel's hakpoda was not on the payment per se to the goy, but his objection or his consternation was a function of the shamash not listening to the instructions, obeying that which he was told to do. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source, which you can see is featured in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. In addition, we also have a Nosei title and Mivneh structural note combined in the outside margin of your Gemara. We featured a house form. If you scan ahead in the Gemara, in the next number of lines, you'll see the appearance of this house marking numerous times. These represent the following, and we've written on the side, Rishima, a list, Rishima shel hanhogos bilti ritzios, a list of practices that are unacceptable, mitnei she matim, because they can lead to confusion or a mistake. V'yeshbohen mishum ganev hazdas. In some of these incidents, we will see a problem of misleading people, causing people to think one thing when that is not the case. Ulechelik mehem totsaos ro'os. And in a couple of these incidents, we will see also some unfortunate outcomes. So the use of this house marking is basically to introduce something, a practice that's unacceptable. Why any given practice is unacceptable, we'll have to learn each case on its own. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Hoy Rabbi Meir Omer. Al Yisarev Odom L'Chavero Lisoid Etzlo. Yisarev means to apply pressure, to apply pressure to your friend to dine with you, Lisoid, to dine with you, V'odeabo Sheino Soid, while at the same time you know that he is not going to accept your invitation. Rashi explains, because you're knowing full well at the outset that he is not going to accept your invitation, and nevertheless you are making this offer. What you are doing there is creating a sense of debt, or a sense of feeling of obligation on the part of the one being invited. He will feel indebted to you because of your offer. His thinking that you are genuinely offering him this invitation. So this problem of his thinking that it's a genuine invitation, while you know that he won't accept it, hence it's not a genuine invitation, but he thinks it's a genuine invitation, then feels a sense of indebtedness as a result, that is a problem. Just notice how sensitive Torah law is, and this is one of many prominent examples that one encounters while learning the Shas, how the study of Torah and the study of the Shas, which is the core of the Torah, is the primary grounds for, we'll say, development of sensitivity in interpersonal relations. And it may be said that the Torah has certain high-level expectations. But bear in mind, we're dealing with behaviors and practices that are really centered in the heart. No one can really know what one's true intentions are, and yet we, the Torah, are expecting one to reach these high levels of sensitivity, where we don't want to create a feeling of indebtedness on the part of the other party. And while at the same time, if your intentions were genuine, then there would be nothing wrong. So what we're really focusing on is your intention. We're not really so concerned with the outcome per se. In other words, what do we mean? That the sense of indebtedness created on part of the second party, that isn't a problem. The problem is, how did you go about creating that sense of indebtedness? If it was through some type of non-genuine intention, there is the problem. Let us continue. V'lo yarbe lo b'tikroves v'yodea boi she'eno mekabel. Tikroves is a gift. One should not offer someone a gift, or the arba would be a large gift, while at the same time you know he doesn't accept gifts. So once again, you're creating a sense of indebtedness based on false intentions. Namely, you know he isn't going to accept the gift, so that your offer of the gift wasn't really with the sense that he would accept it. You were really trying to create a feeling of indebtedness on his part, and that's it. That is a problem. V'lo yiftach lo chovios hamechurois lechenvoni, elo im kein hodio. Let us glance at the Rashi, who will give us the background to this particular unacceptable practice. V'lo yiftach lo. Where the basic topic here talks about the opening of barrels of wine for the for one's guest and offering him a cup of wine from a large barrel that otherwise had been that had previously been sealed until this friend came along. So Rashi says, "Kol chav yoseim megufo ishayu." Their barrels were sealed. Ukshebo odom choshev etzlo poseach lo choves lashkoso yayin chazak. And if one had an important guest come, he would open a sealed barrel in order to serve him some good strong wine. V'im mochar choves lechenvoni shlemo. V'adayin hi etzloi. Imagine a person had a complete barrel that he sold to a chenvoni. A chenvoni is a person who sells wine cup by cup. You could say something like a bar. And we have a wine producer who had previously made an arrangement with a chenvoni concerning a barrel of wine that he had, and he made a deal, a sale. In the meantime, the barrel of wine is still by the producer. Now, a guest comes to the producer of the wine. Lo yiftecheno la'oreach habo loi. You shouldn't open this particular barrel of wine for the guest. But ne shegoinev liboy lahachzik loy toivachinam. By opening a sealed barrel which contains a lot of wine, the guest will be misled. Kosovor, the guest thinks that you're opening the barrel for him in honor of his coming. He will think Kosovor ze hefsid godol nifsar al yodi. The guest will think, whoa, look at this host, how benevolent he is, how he's willing to undergo a big loss by opening a sealed barrel of wine. The wine loses its value if it sits around for a long time in an open barrel. Sharei tishorcha v'zu chasera v'tiskal kilyena. The barrel, after you take out a cup, so it's not filled to the top anymore, and that's not beneficial for wine. When it has, when it's not filled to the top, when in truth, after this guest leaves and you serve him the cup of wine, he's not going. The host here isn't going to experience any loss because he's then going to immediately give it to the wine shop, the bar, who will then sell many cups of wine in a very short term because that's the nature of a bar. So no one, in fact, is experiencing a loss. But the guest who comes, seeing you open a sealed barrel for him, thinks that he's doing it all for him and is going to experience a big loss, thinking that the host is going to be keeping the wine in his own possession for quite a while later. So the source that we just read says one should not do it unless he informs the visitor, the guest, that, listen, I'm opening up a barrel, but you should know that after I give you some wine to drink, this barrel already has been sold to the bar, and I'm not losing anything on opening it for you. Continuing in the source, V'lo yomar lo soich shemen mipach rekon. Don't offer a guest or a friend of yours, don't offer him to smear oil. Oil was used as we use maybe lotions today, which was a common social practice. Don't offer oil when you know very well the person you're offering it to isn't going to accept your offer. And you're offering him to smear oil from a flask that essentially is empty. So once again, this is a form of geneva zas. In other words, you can afford to use an empty, you can offer him an empty flask, there's really nothing in it. You know he's not going to accept it, so why are you offering it to him? You're offering it to him to create this sense of indebtedness. And this is an unacceptable practice. V'im b'shvil kvoidoi mutar. If, however, your intention with any of these we'll call unacceptable practices, if your intention was to show others that this guest is important, an important individual, in other words, the opening up of a barrel of wine for the purpose of serving one cup would create a sense of importance in the eyes of the onlookers regarding the person to whom this is being offered. So if your intention is to create a sense of importance in the eyes of the public, and that's why you are doing these things, that is allowed. Then all of these things are allowed, and you don't have to worry about informing the receiver or the guest of the above details. Your intentions are not to create a sense of indebtedness to you, but rather to increase the importance of this individual in the eyes of the public. So in effect, your intentions are for his benefit, and therefore all of these practices would be acceptable. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this really so? We're going to be questioning that which we've already said. V'ha ula ikla lebe Rav Yehuda. Ula visited Rav Yehuda. Pasach lo chovios hamechurois lechenvoni. We see that Rav Yehuda offered Ula some wine from a barrel that had been sold. And in terms of as far as asking the question, it seems that there's no problem in offering your guest the cup of wine from a brand new barrel. The Gemara answers, well, odoi ode. Rav Yehuda informed Ula that the wine had already been sold. And we said already that if you inform the guest that you're not going to experience any loss in your opening of the barrel for him, then it's okay. Then there's no geneva's das. V'boyes ema, shiny Ula. It could be that even without any need for Rav Yehuda to tell Ula that the barrels have already been sold, this would be okay. Because the case of Ula with regard to Rav Yehuda is different. Shiny Ula, the chaviv lay Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was very fond of Ula. The belav hachi nami psuchi miftach lay. Even without the barrel having been sold to the bar, Rav Yehuda would have opened it up for Ula because of his great fondness for him. So that in the case that it happened to have already been sold to the chenvani, being that he, Rav Yehuda, would have opened it anyway, there is no violation of Geneva's Das. Tanu Rabbanan. As you can see, the house marking continues, so we continue with some more unacceptable practices. Lo yelech adam lebeis ha'ovel, ubiyado login hamiskashkesh. One shouldn't go to the house of a mourner with a flask that's only partially full. Miskashkesh literally means banging. It has to do with the splashing of the wine in the flask. The person coming into the house of the mourner with wine is coming to present it to him. He shouldn't come with one that's not full because the receiver will think that he thinks it's full, and when in fact it's not. So there you have a problem of misleading an individual. V'lo yimalenu mayim b'nei shimateu. Likewise, one shouldn't fill it with water. It seems to me that we're dealing with a flask that's identifiable as a wine flask, so you shouldn't come in with it filled with water, because once again, you are misleading him. V'im yeshom chever ir muter. However, if there is an assembly of people in this base of el, and you're bringing the flask, is your intention is to show the public that here I'm bringing this flask because this Ovel is a worthy individual, he's an important individual, and I'm trying to increase his importance in the eyes of the public that are assembled there, then these practices would be mutter. And Rashi says, the godol kavod habrias, because the honor that's bestowed upon people is greater than any of the misleading that may result from this very practice. Tono Rabbanon, the source that we're about to learn has also several practices that are not acceptable. Lo yimkor odom lechavero sandal shel mesa bichlal shel chaya shchuta. Sandal is a shoe, and shoe is made of leather, leather coming from animals. So one should not sell a shoe made from the leather, from the skin of an animal that dropped dead, presenting the shoe as if it were from a slaughtered animal. And why is it that one should not sell shoes from animals that drop dead, claiming or presenting them as if they're from a slaughtered animal? Mipnei shnei dvorim. Echad mipnei shemate. One is that you're misleading the customer. He thinks he's buying leather from a slaughtered animal, which apparently, and will become actually clear as we go on, is considered more desirable than the leather coming from an animal that dropped dead. The echod mipnei hasakona. And the other problem isn't just, it's not a function of misleading mindset, but rather the leather that comes from an animal that dropped dead presents a potential danger for the one who wears such a shoe. It could be that the death of the animal was a result of the biting of a venomous creature. Let us say a snake, a venomous snake bit the cow, and that venom is absorbed in its skin. Now, if I make shoes from that skin, there is residual venom in the shoe leather. And that could present a problem in the event that one, let's say, experiences some type of foot bruise or injury while wearing these shoes. Velo, the Gemara goes on. Velo yishagir odom lechavero chovis shel yayin v'shemen tzof al piha. One should not send a barrel full of wine with a film of oil floating on top. An incident happened where someone sent such a barrel with a barrel of wine with a film of oil on top. We should preface this by saying that oil is a major ingredient in food preparation. The receiver of this barrel of wine with thin film of oil on the top, the holach v'zimein olei orchin, seeing that he has what he thought was a barrel full of oil, he figured, oh, I can now make a lot of food. I can fry a lot of French fries. I can make a lot of fried chicken. And who knows what else a person uses oil for. He went ahead and invited a lot of guests, thinking that he had a lot of oil for a lot of food preparation. V'nichnesu motza shehi shel yayin. All the people were invited, he then discovered that he doesn't have the means of feeding all the company because he has actually almost no oil, with just a film of oil on the top, and the rest was wine. He discovered it's all wine. And out of embarrassment, v'chonak es atzmo, he went and killed himself, he strangled himself. Another practice, V'ein ha'orchin rashoyin litein mimash lifneim livno ulabito shel balavayit. Elim came not lu rishus mi balavayit. Guests are not to give from the portions they are served to the children of the host, unless they receive direct permission from the host to give of their portions to the children. You'll ask, what could possibly be the problem here? The Gemara explains, "Umaisa be'echad shezimein shlosha orchim b'shnei batzoras." There was an incident where someone invited three friends at a time of batzoras, famine, when there was really very little food. V'lo hoyoloi loniach lifneim elo shalosh beitzim. And all the host had to serve his guests were three eggs, one egg per guest. Bo b'noi shabalabayis. The son of the balabayis came. Notal echod mehen chelkoi v'nosno lo. One of the guests that were seated there took his portion, namely his egg, and gave it to the kid. V'chein sheni v'chein shlishi. And the second guest and the third guest did the same. Bo aviv sheltinok. The father of the child came. Motzoi sha'oizek echad befiv. That the child has one egg clenched in his mouth. Ushtayim biyodo. And the two other eggs in his hand. Chofto bekarka. The father in wrath, thinking that the kid took the guest's portions, he struck the kid, and that's chofto bekarka. He struck the kid. The kid fell to the ground, umes, and died. Kevon shurasa imoy. When the mother of the little boy saw that her son was dead, also legag v'noflo meso. She went up to a roof and jumped off and died. Afhu, the father, seeing what is happening, Afhu olo legag v'nof olo meis, he committed suicide. Omar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankiv, al dover zeh neregu sholosh nefoshos miYisrael. On this, we'll call it practice, or this incident, that's represented by this practice, three people died. The Gemara asks, "My komash malon, what does this last comment of the Braisa teach me? With our markings, you can just count up the volcano shapes, and you see that there are three people that died: Mace, Mesa, and Mace. They're all in our volcanoes. What? It's obvious that three people died. What is being added here?" The Gemara answers, "Dekula Rebelozer ben Yankiv he." The purpose of this last line was to show that the author of this entire source is Reb Elozer ben Yankiv. Tanu Rabbanan, Hasholeach Yerech L'Chavero, one who sends a thigh to his friend. This friend, meaning a Jew, sends to another Jew a thigh of animal meat. Shlemo Eino Tzorach Shito Himeno Gid Hanoshe. If he sends a complete thigh, he doesn't have to remove the Gid Hanoshe from it. Chatucha Tzorach Lito Himeno Gid Hanoshe. If he's sending pieces of thigh meat to the Jew, to his friend the Jew, he has to remove beforehand the Gid Hanoshe. In the case that it's a complete thigh, the Jew receiving it will notice that it's complete, it hasn't been cut open, and hence the Gid Hanoshe is still there, and he'll be careful to remove it himself. If he's receiving pieces of thigh meat, so it's not readily visible that the Gid is still in it, if it happens to be there, and he will come to eat it. Uba'oved kechavim, when talking about sending thigh to Gentile, Bein chatucha bein shlema, ein tzarich litel hemenu gid hanoshe. Whether it be a piece of thigh meat or a complete section of thigh, you don't have to remove the gid hanoshe. Umidnei shnei dvarim amru ein mochrin nevelos etrefos laoved kochavim. For two reasons, we are taught that one is not allowed to sell nevelos or trefos to Gentiles. Nevelos are meat that came from an animal that dropped dead, that was not properly slaughtered. Trefos is meat that comes from animals that had some kind of organ deficiency or imperfection. Why is one not allowed to sell nevelos and trefos to goyim? Echod mitnei shemateu. One is that you are misleading him. The goy receiving meat from a Jew thinks that he's receiving kosher meat. And the goy, as we've explained before, thinks that the Jew is so fond of him that he's willing to sell him something that he himself would have eaten. The other problem is that if I sell nevelos etrefos to the goy, he may turn around and resell it to another Jew. The Rashi, at this point in his commentary, explains using ideas that will be seen later in the Gemara. So we can look at the Rashi, but bear in mind that some of these ideas will have to be developed in the course of the study of the Gemara as we go on in our Shiur. But in the meantime, Rashi says, Ein mochen trefel ovi kochavim, second line from the bottom, he says, Bistam, you know, without sharing any further information, Elim kein hodio shi trefa. Unless you tell the goy that what I'm selling you is trefa. Now, if you tell him outright, the su leko genevas das, that removes the genevas das problem, because then the goy understands that you're giving him something that you yourself would not have eaten. And you're not causing him this elevated sense of importance that he is being sold meat that the Jew himself would have eaten. Uvemokoim she'ein machrizin, deleko lemechash l'shema yimkereno liYisrael. In a place that there is no announcement made concerning trefos found in the public, then if I sell the goy the trefa and I tell him it's trefa, there is no fear that other Jews are going to come to buy the meat from the goy, because it's a place that. When trefas do arise, the public is not informed about their presence, so they stay away from meat purchases from Gentiles. O b'mokom shemachrizin, or it could be speaking about a place where announcements are made, uv'yom shechrizu, and a case where they announced, and therefore, since an announcement was made that trefas exist in the shuk, once again, people won't buy from the Gentile. So if I sell trefa meat to the Gentile and I tell him ahead of time, I tell him that it's trefa, that alleviates the Genevas Das problem. And as far as the issue of others coming to buy that from the goy, well, if it's a mokum shein machrizin, so automatically they won't buy. And if it's a mokum shein machrizin, so we will set it up as a case where an announcement of trefa presence in the market was made, so there's no fear of another Jew coming to buy from the Gentile. Continuing in the Gemara, V'lo yoimar odom le'oivei kichovim kach li bedinor ze bosar mitnei shnei dvorim. You shouldn't say to a goy, to a Gentile, take this coin, take this money, and buy for me a dinar. A dinar is the name of a coin, say a dollar, and buy for me a dollar's worth of meat. Why not? For two reasons, one should not ask a goy to buy for you the meat. Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Echo b'nei ho'anosim ve'echod shema moichrin lo nevelos treifos. One reason is because of anosim. Anosim are people that will force others. We're afraid that the Gentile to whom I gave the money will go and force the butcher to give him meat and not pay for it. In other words, if I send him on the mission, I offer the goy the money, go use this and pay the butcher, he'll end up forcing the butcher to give him meat without paying him for it. And the other problem is that if I send the goy to buy meat for me, the butcher, seeing a goy in the shop, will offer him nevelos treifos, not realizing that he's really on a mission to get meat for the mishaleach, for the Jew who sent him. And the Jew who gets the meat will think that it's kosher, and I'll be eating nevelos treifos. At this point, you can see in our markings we have several diamonds. On the side of the Gemara, on the outside margin of in the Mivneh, we have featured a diamond. We've written Reisha, Mitzios, and Sefer. Those are, the Reisha is represented by the expression Omar Mar in the Gemara. It's a quote from the Reisha, and then you see later Mitzios and Sefer. Tzitutim Mehamoker, these are quotes from the source. And the purpose of this Gemara is Kedei Levarer im Meduber B'mokoim Shemachrizim al hatrefa oiloi. Are we talking about a place where announcements are made concerning the presence of a trefa or not? Once again, the general background to this discussion involves a locale where all of the butchers, the slaughterers and butchers, were Jews. So that in such a region, the origin of all the meat is from a Jewish source. Now, the Gemara. Omar Mar. In the source we had learned, Uba Oivid Kechavim, Bein Shlemo, Bein Chatucho, when it comes to sending thigh meat, and you want to send it to a Gentile, whether the thigh be whole, complete, whether it be cut into pieces, Eino Tzorach Litol Heimeno Gid Hanoshe. You don't have to bother removing the Gid Hanoshe. B'may askinon, what are the circumstances in this source? E lema b'mokim shemachrizin. If you're talking about a place where announcements are made when a trefa appears, and now we have to add, and that day there was no trefa, and therefore there was no announcement concerning any problematic meat. As a result of that, people would buy meat from goyim. If that be the case, chatucha amai eino tzorach litol heimeno gid hanoshe. Why do you say that if it's cut into pieces, that you don't have to remove the gid hanoshe? Kevan delo achruz, since no announcement was made, osi lemizvan minei. People will come to buy, and they'll come to buy from the Gentile, and you'll end up having a Jew buying meat that essentially is kosher. However, it's meat that has gid hanoshe that's still in it, and since it's cut up, so we're suggesting that it's not so readily visible that the gid is there. The person who buys cut up meat from the goy will think that there's no gid in there. Elapshita b'mokem shein machrizin. Then, therefore, it's obvious that this source is alluding to a place that no announcements are made. And if that be the case, no announcements concerning treifos are ever made. If that be the case, Jews never buy meat from the goy. Therefore, I can send a cut up yerech with the gid still in it, not having to fear that it may be transferred, may be given to another Jew. Jews just don't buy from the goyim. Emo mitziosa. Now let's state the middle, or the continuation of the source. It says, "Mipnei shnei dvarim amru ein boichru neveil satrefus lovei kichavim." For two reasons. One is not to sell neveil satrefus to Gentiles. Echad mipnei shemateu. One is the genevas das problem of misleading the Gentile, as we explained earlier. The echad shemo yachzer v'yimkarenu liyisrael acher. The other concern is that he, the Gentile, to whom I sold the neveil satrefus, might turn around and sell it to another Jew. Yeah, but if even Malkum Shane Machrizen, if it is as we set it up, as we dashed underline before, claiming that the source is Malkum Shein Machrizen, announcements are never made concerning the presence of Neveles and Trefas Hall, lo osi lemizvan minei. Another Jew isn't going to come to buy from the Goy, because in such a region, Jews don't buy any meat from Goyim. So then why not sell Neveles and Trefas to Goyim? Elopshita, the Malkum Shemachrizen. Now here, to explain this, we have to add what we find in Rashi. The Gemara said that it's obvious then that we're talking about a place that announcements are made. Being that it's such a case, Jews would buy from Goyim. And now, there in fact were neveilos hatrefus, that's what's being sold to the Goy. And Rashi adds, an oinus happened, something beyond their control. They slipped up, they messed up, and did not announce the trefa that was there. Now, if that be the case, I should not sell, realizing that no announcement was made. The ones who are supposed to make the announcements didn't make the announcement. Realizing that, I am now instructed, don't sell the nevela or the trefa to the goy. Being that no announcement was made when it should have been made, people will buy from this goy. So if I have a nevela trefa and no announcement was made when it should have been made, so it's telling us here in this source, don't give the meat to a goy. Emo sefa. So now, having established that the source is talking about a case of Mokom Shemachrizen, let's check this out through the Seifa. The latter part of the source. Lo yomer odom le'evid kichavim kachli bediner ze basar. One should not tell a Gentile, buy with this coin some meat, mitnei shnei dvorim, because of two reasons. Echot mitnei huanosim. One, because of those who will force the seller and not pay for it, as we described at the top of this omid. The echad shema moichin lo neveil satrefus, and the other is the fear that the seller will sell to the Gentile that comes into the shop, will sell him neveil satrefus, and the Gentile will then bring that back to the Jew that sent him, and you'll have a Jew eating neveil satrefus. Now, if, as was suggested just before this last quote, this last section, that we're talking about a case that announcements are made, if there in fact was a trefa, achruzi havu machruzi, they would have announced it. And if they didn't announce it, so there's no chashash of shemo yimkru lo trefa, that the seller might sell a trefa. If there was no announcement made, and it's a place that announcements are made, so no trefa no trefa was in the market, so there's no problem. Elopshita b'mokum she'ein machrizen. So to understand the seifa, we would have to say that the source is talking about a case where announcements are not made. So there may very well be a trefa in the market, and the messenger that I sent, the goyishe messenger that I sent, might in fact receive from the vendor some trefa meat, and then bring that home. As we look over this source, and if we want to navigate with our marking system, we have dashed underline three conclusions, namely after the first diamond, several lines after that, we dashed underline that the ratio was describing Mokum Shein Machrizen. We then saw the Seifa that said that the source was talking about Mokum Shein Machrizen. And then finally, in this last section of Gemara, we concluded Mokum Shein Machrizen. So we have one Tanaic source that seems to appear structurally as follows. Ratio of the Seifa b'Mokum Shein Machrizen, Mitziyasa b'Mokum Shein Machrizen. We have this, we'll call it the schizophrenic source. Namely, it on the Reisha, it's going one way. The Mitzias, it goes another way. The Sefer goes back to the first way. Is that possible? It lacks consistency. So Amar Abaye says, that's right. In Reisha v'Sefer Mogam Shein Machrizin, Abaye says, and you can see we have a house form around Abaye. Abaye is the first of three house markings. These are explained in the outside mandrin under the Mivneh. Shalosh Gishosh Lahazbir Mokur Hanal. Three approaches in explaining the above source. So Abaye's approach is to leave things as we already explained it. That the Reisha and Sefer are B'mokum Shein Machrizin. The Reisha and Sefer can be explained as we did. There are locales, regions where announcements concerning the presence of Trefas are not made. Metziasa b'mokum shemachrizin, and the middle section is describing a place where announcements are made. And as we explained in the Metziasa, announcements are generally made, and on that day they messed up and did not make an announcement. And as a result of that, the problem of Shema Yasim Kirin Israel does exist. Rova Omar, Kula B'mokoim Shemachrizen. The entire source is talking about a locale where announcements concerning the presence of trefas in the market are made ahead of time. Reisha V'Seifa Shehechrizu. The Reisha and Seifa of this source are talking about a case where an announcement was made. In other words, it's a place that announcements are made, and an announcement was made that there's a trefa in the market. As a result of that, we can understand why in the Reisha there is no problem in sending thigh meat, even if it's cut up, with the git in it. Since an announcement was made, no Jew is going to turn around and buy meat from the goy. And the Seifa also, it's a place where announcements are made. And the announcement was made on that day that there is a trefa in the market, and if I send a goy into the shop, he may in fact receive the trefa, he may be sold the trefa, and he'll bring that home to the Jew that sent him, and the Jew that sent him will end up eating trefa meat. The mitziasa shelo hechrizu, the mitziasa section is true, a place that announcements are made, but the mitziasa is talking about a case where they didn't make the announcement on the trefa that happened to come their way, that happened to be discovered. And being that the announcement wasn't made, I, who may have that trefa in my possession, should not give it to the goy or sell it to the goy, because he might turn around and sell it to Israel. And since it's a place that announcements are made, and no announcement was made that day, the Jew will unwittingly buy from the goy. But we have to emphasize that in order to explain the mitziasa, we have to say that an oinus happened, some type of unexpected or uncontrolled event happened, resulting in their not making the announcement they should have made. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi is a third approach. Kula b'mokim she'ein machrizin. The entire source is to be understood as taking place in a locale where announcements are not made. If that be the case, Jews don't buy from goyim. If Jews don't buy from goyim, then in the metziasa, why is there a restriction of selling neveils trefas to goyim? U metziasa gzeiro shamoyim kareno b'fnei Yisrael. The mitziasa is concerned with the possibility that when I'm selling to the Gentile, there might be an onlooker Jew. And the onlooker Jew, seeing that a Jew is selling to the goy, he will think that he's selling kosher meat to the goy. And he will then come to buy from that goy. And hence, we're taking, we're going one step ahead. Saying, don't sell the trefa meat in the first place to the goy. even though it's a place that, generally speaking, Jews wouldn't buy. But as we said, we're afraid that since we're talking about a sale in a butcher shop, and there are other Jews around, they may see the sale to the goy, and they will think that kosher meat is being sold to him. Heichi machrizinon. How should we make the announcement? What term, how is it phrased, the announcement? Omar Yitzchok bar Yosef, Nofal Bisro Livnei Chela. The announcement that's made would state that there is meat, the word Bisro we've not underlined, there is meat available for the Bnei Chela. Literally, Bnei Chela would mean the meat is now available for the army. But the Rashi, in explaining this, says, meat has become available or has come our way for the Gentiles. The Gemara asks, "Velema nofal treifsa livnei chela?" Why not use the expression that treifa meat is available for the Gentile population? Why do you couch it, so to speak, in the word using the word bisra? The Gemara says, "Well, if you say treifa meat is available, lo zavni." They won't want to buy it. Rashi says, "Degnaihu lahem me'achar shein onu roitzim loichla." It's beneath their dignity. It's like the feeling they'll get that we're second best. That the Jews are selling us meat that they themselves wouldn't want. So the goyim won't buy it. The Gemara asks, "Vaha komati lahu?" But are you not misleading them? Namely, by saying meat is available for the goyim, they'll think, oh, kosher meat. The Gemara says, inu hu dekomatu nafshayu. They are misleading themselves. I am not misleading them. I am saying that meat is available for the goyim. They want to think that it's kosher meat. They misled themselves. Let's take a look at Rashi. Inu hu dekomatu anafshayu. The low Mishaili, they didn't ask Itrefo Ikshero, they didn't ask I said meat was available. They had an opportunity to check out the nature of the meat. If they didn't, they are causing their own misunderstanding or misconception. The high dikotoni liel, that which we taught earlier, mitnei shemat ehu, that there is a problem in creating a misunderstanding. That's b'moichelo b'cheska shruta. That's where I'm selling it to him, presenting it as if it is slaughtered. V'chein poseh chovios hamechuros chenvoni. Likewise, in the case of opening barrels of wine that were already sold to the bars, the omerlo, the problem there is, I say to the visitor, b'shvil choani poscham. Oh, I'm opening this barrel for you. That certainly misleads him. That makes him think that the whole purpose of the opening is simply to honor the guest, when in fact it really, it's a case where the wine is misleading the guest, thinking that he's opening the barrel at a great loss to himself in order to honor the guest, when in fact there is no great loss. But the problem in both of these cases that Rashi talks about is where you caused him to be misled. You said something or indicated something to him to cause him to think one way. In our case that we just learned in the Gemara, where the announcement states meat has become available, in the statement meat has become available, there is nothing misleading per se. The fact that the goy wants to think that it's kosher meat, well, he could have checked it out, and if he didn't, he's causing himself his own misunderstanding. This point, conclusion is illustrated by the following incident that we are labeling as a long point. This long point marking, you can see, starts here and goes to the bottom line, and this is seen by the long point marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, the nun that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. Kiha de marzutra breder of Nachman, the idea of ihu hu de komato nafshayu is illustrated by this incident with marzutra Have ka'azil mi sikhra le bay mechuza. He was on a trip from the city of Sikhra to Bay Mechuza. The Rava of Safra have ka'asu li sikhra. Rava and Rav Safra were going in the opposite direction. In other words, they were going to Sikhra. Pogu adadi, they met up with one another. Hu savar, that's Marzutra, thought li ape hu de ka'asu, that they left their town to greet him. Omar lehu, Marzutra tells them, lama lehu l'rabbanan detroch v'asu kule hai. Why have you troubled yourselves so much to go so out of your way to leave town so far in order to greet me? Omerle Rav Safra, anan lo havu yadin de kosimar. Rav Safra tells Marzutra, we didn't even know you were coming. We happened to be on our own trip for business purposes. We were on our way to Sikhra. I havu yadinon tfei havu tachinon. Had we known that you were coming, we would have troubled ourselves even more. Amalei Rava. Rava turns to Rav Safra and says, "My tamris lehachi, the achlishtei ledaite. Why did you tell him that we were not on our way to greet you? By telling him that, you caused him a sense of despondency. That's chalishus hadas, literally a weakening of his mind." You caused him a sense of disappointment, of despondency. In other words, he thought at the outset that we were on our way to honor him. And now he's told that we weren't coming to honor him. Amalei, so Rav Safra says to Ravavo, komat inalei. But he was under a false impression. We were causing him to be misled. We were, by our meeting up with him, we were causing him to think that we came in his honor. So Rava says back, Ihu hu de ka mati nafshei. He caused himself to reach this incorrect conclusion. We didn't say we are coming to greet you. We didn't say anything. We just met up with him, and he, on his own, imagined all of these, all of this honor, imagined his own conclusion. And therefore, as far as our behavior is concerned, it would have been better simply to remain silent. Let him think that we were coming to honor him, because by telling him otherwise, that itself causes him a sense of disappointment. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.